All right, everyone, welcome to the second recording of the Under the Tracks podcast. I'm Tyler.
My name's Ethan.
We got our sound guy, Luca, here. All right, let's get rocking. So first of all, I'm going to let Ethan get all of his stress out from this past week with the Mets because they've been god-awful. So here you go, E.
Yeah, tell me about it. The Mets are currently holding on to the last wild card spot in the NL. We have lost 9 of our last 11 games. It has been absolutely abysmal on all sides of the ball. Thankfully, we walked it off against the Rangers last night, but that just does not help absolutely anything that has been happening. Our pitching has been awful. We're leaning on our 3 rookies to bring us to the playoffs. I personally don't think we're a playoff team, but...
Yeah, you can't lean on rookies that heavy, man.
No, not at all. And McLean has been awesome. I mean, you really can't ask for anything more from this guy. And, you know, Sproat has had, you know, struggled in his first start. Pick struggled lightly. Six innings pitched, 3 earned runs against, you know, a Cincinnati team that is also fighting for a wild card spot. So, you know, you got to take everything with a grain of salt when it comes to them. But Jonah Tong just really hasn't panned out to be what any of us really wanted him to be. His last start didn't even make it out of the first, gave up 6 to the Rangers. So it's hard. I mean, it's hard to lean on, you know, these rookies for this point in the season. And, you know, for guys like Senga to be sent down and guys like Manaea to, and Holmes too, to, you know, just struggle at this point.
Welcome to the Yankees life, man. Clay Holmes, man. You guys get the little taste.
Yeah, well, from when we first got him, I remember people talking about him because he was primarily a reliever for the Yankees, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and I heard, you know, his numbers shown that he was better as a starter, so I think that was like more of his promise coming to the Mets was that he was going to be a starter and he was maybe a little bit more solid in those types of outings, but clearly not up to this point in the season. Yeah, I don't think he's been as bad as he was in years past with the Yankees, but...
I don't know, because as a closer, he was blowing a lot of games last year, and we know how that went. And, you know, the Yankees still have that problem right now. But I also got some stats here with the... on June 12th, the Mets, when they beat the Nationals to improve to 45-24, they had the best record in the majors. They led the Phillies by 5.5 games in the NL East. And according to Fangraphs, they had a 75% chance of winning the division and a 96% chance of making the playoffs. I don't know what happened that has gone so wrong that you guys are thinking of not making the playoffs now. It's insane to me.
You know, it's funny that you bring this up because one of my favorite things to do when I'm back home is sit around a campfire and reminisce about good times with my buddies. And that's kind of what I'm feeling right now, but that is not what's going on, and we have just been an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah, I don't know what good times you're having as a Mets fan, because it's been a go, man. I don't know what.
Oh, no, it's... never. I have yet to be happy about my team.
Since then, only the Rockies and the Twins have had a worse record, and the Nationals have matched the Mets at 32-49 since then.
Thanks, Tyler.
That's pretty brutal. I mean, hey, you want to hit on the starting pitchers?
Yeah. Nolan McLean has just been amazing again and again and again, and you really can't ask more out of a guy who really didn't have that expectation coming up. You know, I think especially, I said it last podcast, Jonah Tong was really the guy I was highest on, and he has just been awful as well. Didn't even make it out of the first inning in his last outing, giving up 6 to the Rangers. So, I don't really know. I don't think the Mets are a playoff-ready team, and that's even if they make the playoffs, if they keep that third wild card spot. I mean, the Giants and the D-backs are right behind them with 1.5 and 2 games behind, respectively. And even the Reds, 2.5 games behind. At the rate that we're going, and it's a dogfight between, you know, those 3 teams to who wants to take us down first and, you know, keep it. So it's just been a huge disappointment, especially compared to last season and how far we got with what we shouldn't have had. You know, being that far and just the untimely moments and, you know, all that kind of just seems to go to waste when you look at where we're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, can't get your hopes up from last year. I mean, I can tell you that for a fact from a Yankees fan standpoint. But that starting pitching has definitely gotten worse. And they were saying, it, like, here it says through June 12th, they had a 2.79 ERA. That was first in the majors. Since then, they've had a 5.09. That's 24th in the majors. You can't have that. I mean, no team has won a World Series with three rookie starters in the rotation. It's just not a recipe for greatness. They're going to have growing pains. They're going to have struggles. Right now is not the time that you guys need that. I don't know what can go on to help. I mean, McLean, obviously, like, he's 4-1 with a 1.19 ERA in six starts. I mean, that's nothing more you can ask for from that kid. But the other two, you're asking for a lot. You're asking for them to make up for, I mean, your ace, who's now down in AAA. And then you're asking another guy to just fall out when it matters the most. And that's a lot to put on a bunch of young guys that you want to, you know, have for a long time here.
Yeah, and that's honestly the biggest problem. It really is. And I have a lot of trust in Sproat, too. I didn't really touch on Sproat. He's had his, you know, fair share of, you know, two good outings, both going six innings in his first, giving up three, and in his last, giving up none. So he has been looking pretty bright, at least as far as I'm concerned. But this just isn't the time to have all of this happen. And I mean, I don't want to pack it in, but it might be. What else are you gonna do?
It's tough, especially with the Giants and how like young their offense is and how fun they kind of are.
Yeah.
I mean, Drew Gilbert, we were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
Little Mets send off right there, yeah. But he's great, and they're having fun over there.
I'm really happy for Gilbert. You know, seeing him come out of our minor league system and really, you know, make good strides for the Giants. So, you know, that's always nice to see. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's been brutal.
That side just says it all right there. I mean,
yeah,
you can't do much. I mean, we were talking about it last time, like the offense has to pick it up. But, again, here we got stats. Offense has been so inconsistent that, you know, through June 12th, they were hitting 248, 320, 332, 427, an average almost five runs a game. It's just kind of stayed the same. Like, they haven't picked up. They haven't capitalized when they needed to. And their pitching is not going to be able to hold enough, especially that bullpen, too. I mean, they're all around. Not saying they're bad, but those young guys are going to have a lot of... All right, but you know what I'm saying. Like, the young guys are going to have a lot of stress on them. And then the bullpen can't pick them up and help them out when they might go five innings. Like, you know, you're not going to get seven innings out of these young guys all the time. Like, it's gonna be strugglesome coming down this stretch, and I wish you guys the luck and I wish you the best. But I don't know what to think there.
I mean, we can, you know, tie it up right here, but it's hard for an offense to win you games when the pitching really just isn't there, and that's kind of the exact opposite of what it was 10 years ago with DeGrom, and you know, him putting up his amazing stats and not getting the run support he needs. Now it kind of just seems to be the other way around almost. And the offense has had its struggles, as you said, but, I mean, giving up six runs a game, 11 runs against the Phillies, it's not going to work. It isn't. And the Phillies are a playoff team. The Phillies are probably a team that, you know, you could see in the playoffs. And if your performance against them is going to be losing 1-0, losing 9-3, losing 11-3, and then losing 6-4 for a sweep, that's just, you're not a playoff team. That's just not going to cut it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about the start of the year, that NL East and AL East and NL West, like, they're all going to be the tough divisions, and looks like at least the NL East is getting run away right now. I mean, the Phillies have that clinch practically. You got the Pete Alonso home run last fall. We got with this one this Sunday. He might have saved the season at least a little bit for right now. You know, he's
maybe
at least
a little bit of a stretch.
At least prolonged it. How about that? But I think it's kind of ironic that that's how it's gone. But, yeah, you got anything else on that?
Not anything that I'd like other people to hear from me.
So. All right. Well, now let's head over to the other side of New York. I mean, it was a little stressful series against Detroit. Got our ass handed to us, honestly. It was bad. Those first two games, I couldn't even bother watching. I mean, it was pitiful out of the bullpen. It was mainly the bullpen. Every time I saw Mark Leiter warm up, I actually wanted to cry. So, yeah, I don't really know what else to say about that series because they just got a, you know, lucky win in the end. Then we move on to the big series this weekend was the Sox. I mean, we watched every single game.
Yep.
You know how it was in this suite. A little atmosphere was kind of crazy here, but huge two wins, two out of three. I mean, I would have liked to sweep there, but you know, you can't get too greedy here. But Judge being able to kind of carry us through it, getting that one home run off Crochet was huge. And yeah, I don't know what else to say here. It's going to be a stretch that's tough. I mean, you got anything? No.
No, I mean, you really can't complain about lose or winning a series, especially against someone who's so close to you. You know, the Blue Jays obviously leading the division, the Yankees 5 games behind, and the Sox 6 games. So you can't complain about, you know, winning the series and, you know, not getting the sweep. But, yeah, I mean, all those games were dogfights, and, you know, there was no game, all of them. Two of them ended with 2 runs in between, 1 with 3. So it just really, I mean, the two good teams that, you know, have a chance of seeing each other in the playoffs. So, you know, if that's going to be what the playoffs is going to look like, then I'd be pretty happy and pretty stoked.
Yeah, no, I mean, we got to give credit to the Sox. They're going to be tough. No Roman was huge. I think that helped, obviously, you know, have us take some part of the series. It was bound to happen to lose that Crochet game. If we somehow figured out how to steal that one, it would have been huge. But it was good going into Fenway, at least taking the first two. Needed that, because then they got the Blue Jays and the Yankees. You know, obviously not tonight, because just watching that Twins game made me want to cry again, but they should have a cakewalk of a series right now. You know, at least their next couple series are pretty easy. They finish off the Twins, they got 2 more games. O's, White Sox, O's. I mean, I don't know what else is more, you know, of an easy stretch, but now we need the, you know, sadly to say, we need the Red Sox to go and beat Toronto in 2 weeks, and then Yankees got to win out there, and then who knows, the AL East race can get very, very fun the next couple weeks.
Absolutely, it's really coming down to the wire, like you said, with your schedule. You know, Minnesota, Baltimore, the White Sox. Like, those are all series you should win. It obviously falling, you know, to the Twins for the first game of the series isn't ideal at all, but those are games you should be winning, and you should honestly be winning every single series from here on out. So it could get very interesting. The Blue Jays look strong. The Red Sox look strong. So, you know, I'm really excited to see what goes down in that AL East.
Yeah, it's crunch time, like we were saying the last one. That's what we're going to hold on. It's crunch time for these guys. It's time for some of the guys that need to step up. And, well, one guy I like to give a little shout-out is Jose Caballero. You know, forget tonight, whatever, but he's been great. I don't ever want to see Anthony Volpe ever again in the lineup for the next however long this season is for the Yankees after this. I don't want to see Volpe ever written in that lineup ever again. Just for right now, I don't care what it is. Next season, if it's different, whatever. But Caballero adds so much more to this team with stealing. I mean, his homer against the Red Sox the other night. I know they didn't win, but that was a bomb out of that little dude. But he steals bags. Like, he leads the league in stolen bases. That's 46. It shouldn't even be a question with defense and how he just helps all around in this team. I mean, yeah, it's that's just how I feel with this Volpe situation. It was annoying when he just left him in. Boone's Boone and decides to do dumb crap. But that's how it is. Yeah, I mean, just had to let that out right there.
Yeah, I think Boone gave him way too long of a leash. And, you know, obviously that was your guy, you know, coming up from the minors. It was Anthony Volpe. And, you know, he's had his good games and, you know, his good stretches. But this year has just been a dumpster fire for him. And, you know, you guys getting Caballero at the deadline, just, I mean, you had to put him in much earlier than that. Like you said, leading the league in stolen bags. He's a vital part of your offense, but also it's hard to get worse than Anthony Volpe defensively. So that was something that should have been done a long time ago, and I think he has that shortstop spot locked up for at least the rest of this year, maybe a few spot starts out of Volpe to give him some rest. But I really don't see him moving until, you know, we flip to the 2026 season.
No, definitely. I mean, it's tough, you know, and that's the guy that you wanted to ride out the whole year. But you make that move for Caballero, who no one really expected, and you gotta put him in. When the guy's struggling, you gotta take him out, give him a rest, especially how young he is. You gotta just take him out, give him a rest. Obviously, if Caballero is doing what he's doing, he should stay in. There should be no thought, no anything. Caballero's got to stay in. I mean, I don't know what else to say there. That's all I got.
Give him so much, and then, you know, enough's enough. And I think we got past the point where enough was enough. So
exactly. And then we got the couple interesting stats actually over the weekend. We got the Yankees. They got 7 guys that have hit 20 home runs. But you want to know who the one guy that might have them tie the league leading? And, you know, teams with 20-plus home runs?
I would love to know.
It's Anthony Volpe. Oh, my God. We got to wait and watch him maybe strike out. You know, he's got 2 weeks to do this, and I don't even know. It's just more fuel to the fire to why I just don't want Anthony Volpe in the lineup. But, yeah, that's I just had to point that one out there.
Then I take back everything I say, and they should keep starting him.
Hey. I want to win ball games. I don't give a crap about these stats, all right? All right, and then we got, I think the next topic we're going to hit on is Cal Riley. He matched Mickey Mantle. I don't know what else to say about that. It's pretty impressive. I just know he's not the AL MVP. That's all I got here.
Let's not jump to conclusions now.
Oh, okay. You think he's AL MVP right here?
I know we talked about this a little bit earlier, but I think the one leg up he has is that he is a catcher. He is a switch-hitting catcher, and you don't see catchers do this. You know, for people who know baseball, who are around baseball, you primarily look for a defensive catcher. You got to think Martin Maldonado, guys like him. I mean, I'll look up his career batting average, but I can tell you for sure it ain't good. But he was a defensive wizard behind the plate. He's been a part of World Series winning teams, and he's stayed in the league for how many years? So what is that, 15 years? And
I have
a .203 batting average.
I got one question for you. Are you thinking of Martin Maldonado as an MVP in any league?
Maybe.
All right. So I don't. I want to know what you're smoking here.
No.
Let me get to my point.
All right.
Okay. I'll let you go because then I'm about to just, you know, unleash everything why Judge should be the AL MVP.
My point wasn't that Cal Riley should be the MVP. My point was that you don't see catchers do this, and I think that is the only leg up he has right now. I do think Judge is the MVP though. .244 batting average. With 54 home runs, but a .244 batting average just really doesn't cut it for someone who I think we should call an MVP.
It should never cut it. There's never been an MVP that has hit under .265. The only one that hit under .270 was Roger Maris, and that's when he broke Babe Ruth's record. That's it. And that's back then when they weren't hitting for .300. They weren't going crazy like this. 60 bombs all the time. Like, that just wasn't how baseball was back then. So now we got a guy that's hitting 325, has 48 bombs, 102 RBIs, and has a damn near 450 on base percentage. No one's close to that. That's nuts. That's almost Barry Bonds heard of. Like, intentional walks, everything. No one wants to pitch to this guy. I understand you're a switch hitting platinum glove catcher that's hitting 54 home runs. That doesn't come anywhere close to what Judge is doing. And this isn't even his best year in his career, which is crazy to say. I don't know what else you need from me, but that's just why Cal Riley should not be the MVP. That's how I'm going to sit here. Luca agrees with me. I know how this goes. But, yeah, this is...
No, I mean, I got to give credit where credit's due, and Aaron Judge should be the AL MVP. I mean, like you said, it's, you know, plain and clear. So as much as I really would have loved to see Kyle Riley be an MVP, such an unlikely guy, especially coming out of Seattle, it's, like I said, you got to give credit where credit's due, and that's where it's due. It's to Aaron Judge as the 2025
getting
AL MVP.
Getting on base is one of the most important things in baseball, right?
I think so.
So this guy's getting on almost 500, like he's almost 0.5 on base percentage. You know what the second one is? Not even.
Is that Juan Soto?
It is
Juan
Soto, but it's not even 400. That's just insane.
He's number two though.
No one wants to pitch to this guy. I don't think a valuable player would be getting on base, not wanting to pitch to this guy. Being the one thing that everyone marks down on their roster card and their lineup when they go through the pitching stuff, that's what they want. That's what they're looking at.
Exactly. Don't pitch to Juan Soto. Exactly what it is.
Screw your $800 million guy. He's not helping your team right now, so I don't want to hear this.
Yeah, he's doing nothing.
He can't carry that team. That team's a mess in its
own.
No
one can carry that team.
But that's just that's all I'm saying right now is, like, what he's doing and, like, when teams – go down the lineup and they mark out Aaron Judge, it's like, crap. Like, we got to pitch around these guys. We got to just find ways to not get beat by him. And I don't know if that's how I would define an MVP, but I don't know if you got anything else with that. But
no, I mean, if it's like clockwork where every single team you play is circling your three-hitter, your two-hitter, your four-hitter's name, then I think that speaks volumes, you know, not even on the field. So, and, you know, that's exactly what teams are doing. So, you know, that's your MVP.
Yeah, I mean, they might be circling Cal Riley, but the dude's hitting 240, and sometimes that's just should be like, all right, that's sure. If he hits a solo bomb, whatever, like, that's not going to beat the team. He's going to strike out more than – he's going to get out more than he hits one out. So it's like – it's whatever at that point.
Be fair, Aaron Judge also gets out more than he hits a home run.
I mean, that's just – it's not humanly possible to flip that around, I'm just saying.
I'm sure we'll find a way in 30 years or so.
Yeah, if we got robots in the plate, but that's about it. All right, and then going to stay on this topic of Cal. I mean, do you think Kyle Schwarber could catch him? I don't know. With the way Schwarber swings, the way he handles the bat, the way the Phillies are going, and how good that lineup is, I wouldn't put it past him. That dude is just straight power.
I want to start off by saying I hate Philadelphia. I hate everything that has to do with Philadelphia. I hate the Phillies. I hate the Eagles. But Kyle Schwarber is a special player. And... you know, him being at 52, Cal being at 54, and in the way that the Phillies are playing right now, I think Kyle Schwarber could pass Cal Riley.
Yeah, I mean, his swing is just meant to hit home runs.
Oh, it's beautiful.
He's insanely powerful. The way he just goes about, I mean, every time he hits the ball, it seems like it's probably going to leave, so... This last 2 weeks could get interesting with him catching him, but I just wanted to put that out there in the air. I just wanted to say I at least think Kyle Schwarber could easily catch him. We're talking about this historic year, catching Judge, all this stuff, but he's only two homers behind him. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Career day. There it is. He's caught up to him. That's it.
Absolutely. And, I mean, Kyle Schwarber is more than capable of, you know, hitting 2-3 home runs in a game like he already has this season. But one thing I just realized is he is also batting 244, right with Cal Raleigh. So, you know, I guess we'll see a power hitter off where, you know, who can hit for the lowest average but have the most home runs.
That's how it is nowadays. I mean, you look at the whole Yankee lineup, they're hitting for OPS. That's all those guys, almost every single starter in the Yankees lineup, except probably Caballero, is hitting 800, and that's his OPS is 800. That's what they're all striving for. I mean, you got Stanton, who just is guessing all the time. Every single pitch he is guessing, but it's either home run or strikeout is what it seems. But the guy is hitting 270 right now and hitting pretty good, so I can't hate there. That's about all I got for that. For I'm kind of tired of talking about these power hitters because it's kind of boring because they're not Aaron Judge and hitting 320 while hitting 50 bombs, but that's just it. No.
Yeah, batting average is a lost art. I think it's safe to say that. That's for sure.
That is it. At least you got a couple guys. I mean, I'll give you credit to your Juan Soto guy over there, but, you know, he looked better in pinstripes. That's all I got to say. All right, well, we're gonna hit on some other interesting news around the MLB. I think it's obviously great to, you know, point out that the Phillies and the Brewers clinched their first two playoff spots. Well, several other division and wild card races remain very tight right now. Yeah, I mean, we were mentioning AL East. You got the NL West. I don't know who you like over there, but I think I mentioned last week the Padres. They scare me for the Dodgers down there, especially with how Tanner Scott's going. We're going to, you know, shout out to Griffin. There might be piss that runs down his leg whenever he sees Tanner Scott start warming up in the bullpen, but that's how he was acting the other day. But, yeah, I mean, you got anything on that?
Yeah, Tanner Scott, if we want to keep talking about dumpster fires, has been a dumpster fire, and giving up the game for Yamamoto against the Orioles, and what do you let up a walk-off grand slam the other day? Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, it has been nothing short of terrible for him in, you know, this back half of the season. For a good pitcher, a guy that Dodgers really, you know, were looking to rely on, but, you know, who knows about...
Dodgers are going through it again.
Dodgers are just, at, yeah.
I saw the other day, I mean, Will Smith went down. That's, you know, big key player. They're going through a bunch of just, you know, prep. Obviously, they're going to get in. But who knows, who the hell knows how they're going to do when they're in? It's always the question. But with the way their bullpen's going, the way some injuries might be coming back, I think the only bright side is talking about how Mookie Betts won the NL Player of the Week. So there's things here and there that might counter, but the bullpen's the biggest part. And Tanner Scott being your big, you know, signing in the bullpen over the summer, that is not what you want to see.
Yeah, and, I mean, we can even just talk about the Dodgers as a whole this season. Really haven't lived up to expectations right now. 84-65 with the Padres right behind them at 82-68. And the Dodgers don't even have the best record in the NL. It's the Brewers.
Brewers are running away with the NL right now.
And the Phillies are also ahead of them, too. Which, I mean, the Brewers just running the NL.
It's nuts. You never would have guessed that one.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have, you know, seen that coming. I knew they were going to be good, obviously. Yes. You know, getting to the wild card last year with the guys they have. They have a relatively young team. So, you know, I mean, Jackson Churio is just going to be a generational baseball talent. But, you know, you don't see them better as the Dodgers. You really don't see anyone better as the Dodgers, even the past few years when they haven't won the World Series, getting bets. I mean, you know, having Will Smith as your catcher, getting Freddie Freeman, like just these tenured guys who have won World Series and, you know, continue to just play up to an amazing level. Like, you really didn't see, you know, anyone being past the Dodgers at this point, but I mean, here we are, and here are the Padres right behind them. So this is going to get really interesting in the NL West of how these next few games go, and you know how the rest of the season wraps up. Whether the Dodgers will have the NL West for their own, or will be scratching and clawing to try to work their way up from a wild card position.
Yeah, I mean, there was a part in the season where Betts was struggling big time, and I think every Dodger fan wanted to hit a panic button because that's your guy. You need him to strive. So at least, you know, this week probably looked good for them. That had to at least, you know, relax them a little bit. But Tanner Scott is raising their blood pressure like no tomorrow. So then, like, you go around the NL again. Like, we're going to talk about the Mets. The Mets, Giants, Diamondbacks, and Reds all in contention of this one last wild card spot. I bet that makes you feel great.
Amazing.
A little nervous.
As good as a man could feel.
I know you're going great right now, but hey, it's the same thing over in the AL East. I mean, the Blue Jays, they're in the driver's seat right now. They control their own destiny, but the Yankees and Red Sox right on their ass. It's gonna be a fun one to watch, and I can't wait for that. So,
absolutely. I mean, the AL East has just been a dogfight all season, and you really just, I mean. These are three great teams, playoff teams that are just, you know, fighting for who gets the upper hand in the playoffs. And, you know, I think that really either of these three teams could, you know, come out on top. So this final stretch of the year really is going to show, you know, what everyone's made of and, you know, who can really come out on top in the playoffs and make it the furthest.
Yeah, I mean, we got a little couple extra stats I just wanted to throw out there is about how Judge had a historic home run over this past weekend where he passed Joe DiMaggio on the all-time home run list.
Yeah.
And then, you got something to say over there, buddy?
I'm listening.
No? All right, yeah, that's what I thought. All right, so then we got other injuries that, you know, we were talking about earlier, but the Braves lost one of their outfielders, you know, and makes the NL East a little easier for you guys, but
The Braves have not been contenders all season. I think we're just fine.
Yeah, but you get the Phillies losing Jose Alvarado on the injury list with a strained forearm. And you got the D-backs losing a star to a big injury. Lourdes Gurriel was diagnosed with a torn ACL. So that might help you guys there with at least one team, you know, going down with one big guy.
Yeah, I mean, The Diamondbacks sitting at exactly 500 right now, 75-75. Still in contention for that wild card spot. Like I said, they're two games behind the Mets right now and half a game behind the Giants. So that could have been a player that really pushed them past that point and, you know, kind of snuck them right into the playoffs. But, you know, we've seen, you know, teams without, you know, their guys just, you know, fall apart. So, you know, we're going to see, again, what the Diamondbacks are made of here and, you know, how they can persevere through, you know, losing one of their guys and, you know, seeing if they can, you know, get over 500 for the end of the season and catch up to the Mets and Giants.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's going to be a fun ride here. It's going to be crazy to see both sides, NL and AL. And you got more injuries with, you know, Yordan Alvarez and the Astros going down. Big ankle injury right there. AL is going to be little, you know, it's going to get a little bumpy. Who knows over there? But then, yeah, I think, I don't know what's going to happen with both sides. It's up for grabs, obviously, but, I mean, yeah, what do you got there?
I think all that we've talked about today and how the standings are and how the wild card is, you know, right now, is all this means that it's going to be a really fun playoff this year. It's going to be a really fun end to the year, and you know, no matter who you root for, we're going to have a lot of fun watching it because it's just going to be good baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be great for baseball fans. Another thing to kind of point out was Anthony Rizzo retiring.
Yeah, hanging obviously out in the bleachers with the Cubs fans.
Yep, big Yankee guy. Love that guy for his little tenure, but he was great for baseball. Just wanted to give a little shout out to him, but yeah, and this one was fun. Hope you had a great time here, E. You know, have a little more fun. Hopefully next weekend, hopefully it's a little, you know, happier for you.
We'll see.
Well, hopefully the Mets make a run. Hopefully the Yankees make a run. You know, let's have some fun here. Hopefully the crunch time is great for us so we can have more news to talk about. But, yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. And hopefully we'll be back next week with a great another episode.